For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Davo, Big Hit Energy, it is a frame of mind, and I know you're very excited to speak to someone who lives and breathes just big hits in Australian culture.
Yeah, man, he is an Australian icon.
Oh, yeah.
Some would say an Australian idol.
Yes.
And of course, it is Shannon Noel. Good afternoon.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, we're going really well. We're so keen. This Friday at Eureka Hotel, you're going to be playing a show. It's been a while since you've been in Geelong, so great to have you. What have you been up to, Nolsey?
Yeah, mate, I've had a heap going on, actually. I've been doing a lot of festivals the last sort of 12 months, but I've been doing a bit of a pub run again for a bit of fun, and I've been really, really enjoying it. So we've been rocking out in the pubs again. It's been lots and lots of fun.
Yeah, you've been going to lots of regional sort of towns and areas. Where's been your favourite spot?
Oh, mate, it's hard to tell. You know, it's been really great, like I said, doing these pub shows again and getting out to the regional areas again. But there's so many great places. We played up at Dag Pub last week, which was a lot of fun. We had a great turnout there. So, you know, it's just really good to be back on the road and going to some of these places I haven't been for a few years.
Now, supporting you is a very special guest for some of your shows, Blake Noel. Now, famously your child,
yes,
which is just wild. Now, I've got a young fellow myself, and I think you're living every dad's fantasy of their kid kind of following in their footsteps a little bit. That must be so special for you and your family, Shannon.
Yeah, mate, it's really fantastic. You know, it's great to see him really starting to go really well. He sort of only picked it up. I never wanted to really push the kids into music in case they, you know, obviously didn't want to do it or anything. So I sort of let them find it organically in their own time. And he picked up a guitar at about 18 and just played the absolute crap out of it. And he's really playing well and starting to really singing well too. So it's really great having him on the road there. The whole thing sort of changed a bit as a dynamic, you know, sort of he goes out after the show's down, I go home, so that's great.
Do you feel a little bit like you're passing on that baton to the next generation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about music, which I've really enjoyed over the years playing with my brothers when I was a young fella, is that opportunity to enjoy music together and enjoy the shows and enjoy the whole thing, really, you know, and he comes out and does a little bit of lift at the end of the show and that as well. So to be able to do that with my son's just an amazing feeling. Very proud moment, actually, so it's great.
It's so awesome to see. You're keeping busy off the stage as well. Now, you got your own rum brand, the Great Australian Rum Co. Now,
yeah,
is that something, how long's that been in the works for? Like, is it nice to kind of have something outside of music where you can go, hey, I'm all in, let's do this, let's have a bit of fun?
Oh, most definitely, mate. Yeah, we've been working on for probably 3 years now, so we're just sort of starting really to kick on now. We've got all the the details in place. We've got all the bottles are terrific. You know, the packaging's fantastic, and the product itself is really, really great. I think we came third in the world. Second in the world. Of course, it was me, so we had to come second. Second in the world rum competition in St. Louis. So that was a really big achievement. Everyone I'm talking to now is really really liking the product, mate. So, and it is really something, it's great to have something, you know, away from music that's another sort of business thing that I can use my brand and get behind and really sort of push. And with the, with Bundy sort of being sold offshore and that a little bit now, we're Australian made and Australian owned, so it's really, really proud of that fact too.
Mate, you must be passionate about the product as well, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. You sort of can't, the Australian rum drinkers aren't silly, so, you know, the product's got to be up to par to even get a look in. So we're hoping to get it more and spread it out and get it more and more out there so more people can try it and make their mind up.
Now, look, Shannon, I hate to bring it up, but I am Australian Idol Season 1's number one fan.
Super fan, Davo.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Where, of course, you were a victim of crime after being robbed horrifically.
I call Crime Stoppers maybe once every 3 months, and they still won't officially report it.
But it has been 22 years since Australian Idol Season 1. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that this is where you'd be all these years on?
Oh, mate, absolutely not. You know, I went in at the show, obviously, at the time, after we'd lost the farm and music was sort of all that I really had, you know. So it was just I was hoping to find something, as in a bit of a career path to do something in some capacity, but never you know, never 22 years down the track, releasing new music and still kicking around the blocks, you know.
Well, speaking of new music, have you got anything new coming up that you're playing at your shows that people can expect on Friday night at Eureka?
Yes, mate, we are. We've got a new single coming out in November called "What You're Made Of," and we're just in the process of finalising the production on it now. But yeah, it's a new single coming out in mid November. So I'm really, really stoked about that one. It's a song very similar, in the same sort of vein as "Shine" and "Lift" and "Learn to Fly." It's a real positive message in the song. So I'm really hoping it'll connect. But we're definitely playing that on Friday night as well. So we've been road testing it to see what the fans think, and it's been going over really, really well. So keep an eye out for that one.
Mate, I'll be front row centre, no doubt. I'll be absolutely loving it sick. Now, we do have to ask you one last question, Shannon.
This is kind of an in-house question. Mm. Someone here at the radio station on the Brekkie Show, Tom, is having what we would call an identity crisis because he's lost something that you've also lost, Nalsy. We're talking about your Flavour Saver, your goatee, your chin strap, whatever people want to call it. Now, that was iconic for you. Do you remember when you got rid of the Flavour Saver?
Yeah, I do. It sort of started to get... I was always a bit hard to maintain the perfect triangle there. But it started to get a few grey hairs in it. So we sort of decided to give it a rest for a little while and just see how the clean cut look went. But I definitely miss it every day. It's around here somewhere. So it's nocturnal, so it sort of gets up when I go to bed, and wake up with empty rum bottles everywhere. So
okay.
Well, it definitely grew a life of its own after a while.
I love that.
What would you say to someone who, you know, they're thinking about either giving the Flavour Saver a go, or maybe someone needs a bit of help, saying, "All right, well, it's the time of my life. Maybe it's time to say goodbye to the old triangle under the bottom lip."
Well, you know what? It's always in the wings, the Flavour Saver. So definitely, there's an empowerment to it. Definitely worth trying for the first time if you've never tried one, for sure. There's it's an unspoken law. Whenever you sort of walk past somebody who's got a Flavour Saver, it's just this wink of acknowledgement. You know what I mean? Even if you don't know it from a bar of soap, it's like you're on the same team, sort of thing. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a camaraderie involved, and I can feel it. You know, for firsthand, the disconnect of when you get rid of it, you're sort of all of a sudden you're in this world alone, walking the streets by yourself.
Well, look, do you have any words of wisdom for Tom for his life without the Flavour Saver?
Oh, mate, go to mutton shops or something, brother. You've got to have some hair to maintain somewhere. Otherwise, you can feel lost sometimes.
All right. Looking forward to the single, Something's Better Than Nothing. And when we'll know it's about a Flavour Saver. Yeah. Shannon Knoll, so excited to see yourself and your son, Blake, at the Eureka Hotel this Friday. So grateful that you swung by the show.
Good on you, guys. Thanks so much for the support. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, bloody love you, Shannon.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
Halloween is, 10 days away?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's next Friday. So it's going to be a Friday Halloween. Very spooky.
So fun.
Do you get around Halloween? Like, it's getting more and more popular every single year.
Look, as a concept, I think it's so fun. And when I was growing up, I definitely wished it was here in Australia.
So you never dressed up and walked around asking for lollies?
We did once or twice in my high school era. But I would say that, no, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Okay.
I like the concept.
The concept is fun. And I think, you know, lollies are, when you're a kid, that is a currency. So you go walk around for free, get lollies for nothing.
Gorgeous.
Stunning. Sign me up. I think you're right. Definitely when you're younger, you go, this is great. As an adult, you go, oh, I don't know. But then
another bloody money grab.
And how people are getting really about it, because houses, full decorations, like people spend what I could only assume be hundreds of dollars on different lollies and things for kids to get. Is it normal to feel less than because a house near you has gone so hard decorating?
All right. About 5 minutes ago, you told me that you don't have any baggage, mate. Look yourself in the mirror. You're feeling less than because a house has got some decorations on it.
Don't you think, I think there's an appropriate level to decorate your house where you go, Halloween, it indicates, yes, if you come knock on my door, there'll be some lollies there for you.
Yeah, I think I know the house you're talking about in your area because I actually saw it when I came over for dinner and I thought, wow.
Was it a corner house?
Yes.
So there's this corner house in Armstrong Creek and they, for everything, whether it's Christmas, Easter, Halloween, they go hard. We got Christmas decorations last year. We got a few small things and every year we're going to get something and kind of, over the next 10, 15 years, make it big.
Yeah, but this house is interactive things on there.
Yeah, it does.
It's causing a crowd to go and get there. I saw them.
And I understand, like, because I saw it last year and people always get around it. The work that they do, that's awesome. People love it. It makes kids smile. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I often think about the house next to it and just the, like, imagine that conversation. Do we need it? Oh, do we have to decorate? Like, they're going so big. There's going to be people at the front. What do we do? And then I start questioning myself. I'm like, should we get Halloween decorations? I don't know what to do.
I don't reckon. I think let them have their time in the sun. You know, this is their time to shine. Obviously, the person that lives at that house really likes to bring the razzle dazzle on these holidays.
Oh, the razzle and the dazzle.
And I just think let them have it. You know, you don't need to conform to what everyone else is doing. If you want to put one little skeleton out there to say, hey, we're Halloween friendly, please do.
Okay.
But I don't think it's necessarily to go all out.
All right. So, because I think it indicates, yes, lollies are here, come and knock on the door. I don't think the last 2 years anyone's knocked on our door to come and get lollies. Mm-hmm. And we have it, like you came and had dinner last week. Next to my door is a complete, just like giant plane of glass that you can see through. So we can't even hide, be like, we're not home or anything.
No.
So we're going to go no decoration, go to the corner house, live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an apple. And I think once word gets around the way the fruit house, no one's going to be knocking on
that
our
door.
That
is a great plan.
Yeah, thank you. There we go.
Tim and Davo.
Now, Tim, you usually look at me and think, wow, what a talent, what a girl. I'm really glad I get to work with this chick. Wow.
Honestly, there's a few things that, like, I never want to compare you to, like, you know, the old one, Jess, who's on maternity leave at the moment. But there are some similarities. And, like, I could honestly just sit and watch you both. And, like, you have these elements of, like, this is just you living your life.
Mm.
And there's, you know how when you see someone become quite passionate about something, you're like, oh, wow, I'm learning about that person.
We're
new mates. And it's awesome getting to know you, Davo.
Well, look, the other day you did look at me and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it was because I was reaching into my bra.
And this is a thing that I don't know if I can talk about it.
No, it's fine. You don't have to. I'll continue.
Please, because you just keep going in there.
Yeah. I was digging around in my bra for my house key as well as my work key because that's where I sometimes keep them.
Now, is this a safe space where I can ask genuine questions?
Of course.
Do you keep one key in one side of the bra and one key in the other? So you go left is work, right is home.
Yeah. I mean, there's no real system there, but one is in one, the other's in the other.
Because that's what I would do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they were both in the same one, I'd go, hang on, isn't that uncomfortable?
No, it's fine. You don't even know because...
But it's a giant rectangle.
Yeah, you don't understand what girls have got going on in there. It's fine.
I know what's up.
No, I get you've seen them. Not you've seen them, but like, you know, it's like
big fan.
It's not something that you're like very aware of the feel. Oh, I don't know. I might have a problem, and I'm letting that out now.
Could I just rattle off a few things, and you say yes or no? Would you keep it in your bra?
Yep.
All right. So, like a lanyard.
Yeah.
Physical car keys.
Yes.
Money.
Yes.
Like one of those coins that you put in a trolley so you can get, so you don't have to use a dollar.
Absolutely. Whatever will fit in there, I'll put in there. Because ladies will know, this is like another handbag for you. You can really store whatever you need right there in your bra.
Well, I guess some people have bigger storage.
For sure. I mean, I've gone through phases of my life where I have little storage, but I've also gone through phases where I've got heaps of storage.
What is the most surprising thing that you think that I would be and we would be surprised at that you tried to put in there?
Look, I don't know if it's surprising, but I will tell you about something that it ruined for me.
Okay.
So many years ago, I told you that I did the City to Bay run in Adelaide, where you go from the City to Bay, 12 kilometres jog, you know, obviously fit girl. And I decided that on this jog, I would put my phone in my bra. All good. Got to the end. My phone was waterboarded. It no longer worked.
Oh, like it literally.
I broke my phone from my boob sweat. So that's cute.
And so like when you're putting it in, Like, it's to the side, right? So it's along the side. Like, you're not, it's not underneath.
No.
In the, like, in the bosom.
No. I have a favourite one that I would use as storage. The left side is the best one for storage. Yeah.
Okay, good. Awesome.
Mm. But, you know, like I said, ladies get around this. We use it as a third sort of or a second sort of handbag.
Well, this is why you don't need pockets.
We get your second and third handbag if you want to go that way. But I'd love to know, what do you keep in your bra?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What's something you've tried, Davo, and it hasn't worked?
I mean, if you do put a full set of keys in there, it does sometimes get a little painful.
A bit stabby. Mm. All right. Yeah, well, can you, I don't know if there's can ask this question. Could you please do the asking and I'll just tell people the phone number.
Oh, of course.
You do the thing.
What do you keep in your bra?
52232955. I can't stress enough, I can't ask this question, but Davo is, and I'm just here to listen.
No, you're a nice bloke that's curious about it.
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, that gets me out of the bloke's curious about boobs. That's totally fine. We are hitting the phones with this to see, you know, what ladies across Geelong be storing in their bras. And it's totally fine for me to say because Davo gave me permission.
Of course, mate.
Air. Emily in Bannockburn, what do you keep in your bra?
As I was saying to David before, I don't have much storage space, so I don't use it very often. But I recently got false teeth, and it causes a bit of pain, so I'd taken them out and I'd placed them in there, and I forgot they were in there as well, so I'd lost my teeth in there.
Yeah, because you do. You don't feel it when they're in there. You don't actually feel what's in your bra, do you?
No, exactly. And even teeth, you think you would feel that, but no. Didn't even notice, and I'd lost them for most of the night.
That is such a crazy thing to put in your bra, a false set of
was
teeth.
Was it when you realised you were nibbling on yourself, you were like, oh, that's where they are?
I was just the end of the night, I think, when I was getting undressed. I'm like, oh, my God, there they are.
I think that's such a ripper thing. I mean, to put them in there, did you take them out of your mouth into the, like, was it one yeah. swift?
Yeah, I'd taken them out, and I would normally just put them in my back pocket, but... Mm. Obviously, this time I mixed it up because I was going to sit down. I didn't want to sit on them, and yeah.
Yeah, of course, you wouldn't want to sit on them. How long were they in there for, and why did you have to take them out?
I've only just had them, like, my teeth removed, so they're my temporary ones.
Oh, okay.
So they were still very painful, so I just had to take them out for some relief, and yeah. Wow. It wasn't very good because I was actually out in Geelong. Wow. And then I had no keys for the rest of the night.
Oh, I love. Oh, Emily, what are you up to this week? I'd love to hang out with you. You sound like fun.
It's Tim and Davo.
Let's talk about our brains.
Okay.
Do you think you are the smartest version of yourself right now?
No. My 20s and early 30s have really made sure.
Okay.
That's not the case.
When do you think you were firing intellectually?
Oh, I don't know, really. When you're really using your brain for that sort of stuff all the time, right?
Do you think end of high school, start of university, is that when you think you're using your brain?
And are you talking about book smart, though? I've gone straight for book smart.
Well, no, I think it's a combination of book smarts and street smarts. I like to think of myself as quite street smart. Book smarts, on the other hand.
Cool guy.
This is the thing. I'm not a book smart guy. I don't test well. It's something that okay. I used to like to say. But if, like, there's been a study done on people's brains on when they think you're at your peak of your powers with your brain, best utilizing your brain.
Okay.
What age do you think it is? Like, talk through a couple of options and why you think it could be that.
Well, I think maybe around, like, 31, maybe. Like okay. around those 30.
Why early 30s?
Well, maybe because you've lived your 20s, you've done a lot of stuff in your 20s, you've learnt a lot about the world, maybe you've travelled a bit. So potentially in your 30s you are at your smartest.
I can tell you, you are unfortunately not at your peak of your powers in your early 30s.
You're kidding.
It's older than that. What's another age bracket that you think it could be?
Let's go like 63. Let's jump right up. 63.
All right, you've just missed it. Apparently in Australia... Scientists say that overall mental functioning in the brain actually peaks between the ages of 55 and 60. 55 and 60. People in this age may be at their best for complex problem-solving tasks, high-ranking leadership roles in the workforce. So as your youth fades into your past, you might start to fear growing older, but you really should embrace it because those 50s, those golden years, that's when your brain... is at its most experienced and ready to go.
There you go. I mean, I...
How happy are you, Davo?
Well, I knew I hadn't reached my peak power, had I?
I was
and
worried.
Thank goodness.
But my thing is, I'm trying to educate myself every day to kind of learn a little bit more about something and like kind of understand. So every day I want to be smarter than what I was yesterday. Like today, I'm not feeling that.
Like I was going to say, how are you doing this for yourself?
Oh, like puzzles, those kind of things, reading. Not like puzzles, like, oh, yeah, the dinosaur goes okay. here and that dinosaur goes there. It's like riddles, those kind of things. It's like brain training. I don't want my brain to ever just like evaporate into the mush that it probably is.
Yes.
And I have this, I haven't even explained to you my huge fear of dying. I don't want to
do it. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. I know it's early.
I'm looking at the time. Yeah. Looking at how long we've known
never
each other.
Never want to die. Like, never want to die. I've spoken about it all on the show. People might know. Never want to die. Don't want to. So I want to keep this thing
sharp
operating. So 55 to 60 is quite young for my brain because I am going to live forever. Mm-hmm. So, but to know that that's the peak. So if you are feeling like, oh, man, like, come on. It's just around the corner-ish, you know?
What do you think you'll do with your big brain powers? What do you think in store?
Just help people. Just, you know, but when I'm 55, my son will be 25. Mm. So hopefully I'll be in a position where I can get, you know, fatherly advice. Oh, I wouldn't do that, mate.
Whipping out annoying riddles for him every day.
Puzzles, show him where the dinosaurs go, those kind of things.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I want to take some time to talk about some spooky stuff.
Spooky stuff, you know, spooky things. How do you... And I know the answer to this. Well, you're not a big fan of the spook.
No, I want to talk about horror movies.
Okay. Watch a horror movie right there on my TV. Now, any chance horror to play my favourite band on the radio, Skyhooks? Unfortunately, I don't fall under that big energy anymore. But, oh, in the 70s and 80s, they did, Davo.
Now, so. We have spoken about horror movies before and how you feel about it. You don't like watching them at nighttime.
I have the strangest thing. I love horror movies. Mm-hmm. I'm quite a naturally like on it. Like I don't like being jump scared. Like if someone walks around the corner, I'm very like, oh my, what is going on?
Yeah.
But like the build up to and that's what horror movies lean on. It's the tension. It's not actually the stuff you say. Oh, some horror movies are pretty cooked. But mm-hmm. Yeah, totally fine. I can watch any horror movie in the day. When it gets to night, I start limiting and I go, oh, maybe not that one. Maybe yeah. I'll watch that tomorrow during the day.
I'm exactly the same. So I have that strict ban on myself. Horror movies aren't for nighttime. They're a daytime situation.
Well, you live alone with high ceilings. That's a terrible, like, you know, conundrum there. That's,
oh, for sure.
Why would you do that to yourself? You're alone watching it. Your ceiling's 4 meters in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
No, Davo.
Yeah. It's a flash apartment, but it is very scary.
The windows are too big. Too many ghosts can see in through your large windows.
So look, horror movies we've got in check. We know not to have that at nighttime. That's no problem. That's a great rule. But what has slipped through the cracks is horror talk.
Horror talk.
TikTok, but yeah. Scary little short movies.
Yeah, I like these. I really like these. I will watch them at night.
Will you?
Yeah. I don't know what my brain allows. And this seems to be like, this is totally fine. It's on my phone. Everything's fine.
See, this is the problem is it has snuck through for me. And I do have temptations to watch these spooky TikToks at night.
All it takes is for you to watch one long enough and your algorithm goes, we've got one.
Well, that's correct. So now when I'm scrolling through in the evening, I'm getting these horror talks and I want to watch them because I enjoy watching them. But I also know for the evening scares, I'm not going to enjoy that.
Are these ones with jump scares or it's just like a scary scene in a movie or it's like people recreating these things?
These looks are the creepiest jump scares of all time. They are very, very well done. If you've not checked out Horror Talk, I mean, please do it. Not before, but I mean, before it gets dark, of course.
Quickly do it now.
But this is what I'm thinking. I think there needs to be some sort of ban on your phone where you can somehow program in there that between the hours of 7:30 when the sun goes down till 6:30 in the morning, there is no horror talks coming through on my algorithm.
That is a very specific rule to put on your app. But essentially you're asking for like a kid's lock where you go, all right, yeah, we'll put it on so only, you know, family-friendly memes are coming my way from 7:30 onwards. But like, you know, like maybe you should identify as 16. Because then you can get that social media ban that's coming into act in December, which is going to be fantastic. But if you want to avoid it, I think just could you put a like a general lock on your app and it goes, hey, you've used it for an hour today. you don't want to use it at night. No. Are you sure you want to do this? And it makes you say yes three times.
I still want to use TikTok. I just want the specific content to not be scary between those hours. And I think that that shouldn't be too much to ask in 2025. There should be some sort of technology that allows me to do that.
There should be like kind of like a chat bot. Like when you're with your bank or your energy company and you can be like, hey, I need this. You should be able to have like a chat function on your TikTok and be like, can you stop putting this in my algorithm, please? And that could work for anything. Be like, I don't want to watch cricket videos anymore. Like, yeah. That's too much right now.
Or when I personally go and search hashtag horror talk, it should say, are you sure?
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.